Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 237th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, coming to you on October 16th, 2023, a Monday. Andrew Clark, what is a Mr. Pfizer?
A Mr. Pfizer is one Travis Football Kelsey, famously known as Taylor Swift's boyfriend, and catches footballs better than any other receiving tight end, maybe in NFL history. And also a guy who promoted getting vaccinated just in general, like on a commercial for Pfizer. He's like, hey, get your COVID shot. Maybe get your flu shot too. It's good for you and helps. It's totally chill. Nothing weird about it.
And got fucking paid for it.
Like, oh, yeah. Granted.
That's my weird thing is like, you've never taken a fucking endorsement, Aaron Rodgers. Like, what are you talking about?
And spoiler alert, Aaron Rodgers then unprompted. Aaron Rodgers, the guy that works for Johnson & Johnson because the Jets are owned by Woody Johnson, the heir to the Johnson & Johnson fortune.
He's Mr. Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, he's Mr. Johnson, not the other Johnson, the first one, not the second. Unprompted, like, was talking about Travis Kelce, like, you know, dating Taylor Swift and all that shit. And he's like, yeah, Mr. Pfizer out there promoting Pfizer vaccines just because Aaron Rodgers is a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And then doubled down on it the next time he was on the Pat McAfee show and went full on, like, debate me, bro. Like, Travis Kelce says, I guess now we're in a vaccine war with each other, so like, come on and debate me. And he's like, you can bring Dr. Fauci and I'll bring RFK Jr. Fucking Jesus Christ,
meeting of the minds,
like just the most cursed. That's a cursed blunt rotation. I mean, why not bring fucking what's his name, Ben Shapiro on?
Right,
who gives a shit?
At that point,
bring on Joe Rogan. He is easily convinced of anything.
I feel like we might be entering the most dangerous era of Aaron Rodgers as a public figure, because now he doesn't even have football to pour that manic energy into. And you just see every time he comes on the Pat McAfee show, he's sitting a little worse.
Yeah, he was in a hospital bed or something. I think he might have been like slouched on his bed with like his phone balanced on his stomach or something. It looked weird.
Did you see that he's getting paid like $1 million to go on that show?
Yeah.
Literally, Pat McAfee said he's paid Aaron Rodgers $1 million to be on the show.
This is the best use of $1 million.
I mean, it's making him $10 million. Yeah, so
Aaron Rodgers is getting people to watch McAfee. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah. An active future Hall of Fame quarterback just shit-talking.
Yeah, just saying unhinged bullshit on your show. It gets views. It gets clicks.
Yeah. No, it's bonkers.
Speaking of bonkers, Ryan Holtz. Have you ever been in a Zoom meeting and thought, boy, I bet an AI assistant could sure be useful right now? Because when I opened up the Zoom meeting for this call, there's an AI companion prompt at the bottom of the screen, and I can't even fathom what that would do in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, AI assistants are now becoming, like, the same as, like, AI in general. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like a strange buzzword for technology.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like anything you could throw an AI assistant on, like doing your laundry in a washing machine is like, yeah, but your AI assistant will optimize your laundry coefficient.
Like, is it kind of like when everything, like all appliances became smart compliances, and then like it even expanded past there? It's like, this is a smart backpack. And it just meant that there was a battery in it that you could plug your phone into, or like, you know, smart fridges just have touch screens.
I think so. And my favorite of like micro, not my, a niche of this is Some things have retroactively become AI. Like, I've heard people describe spell and grammar checking programs as using AI, and that's... It's not right, guys. It's not... Grammarly, shut the fuck up. I hate it. I hate how... I mean, the technology is... I know by its nature it is always getting better, but it's so clearly like people trying to cash in, cash out on an emerging technology that can be vaguely disruptive. And now everything has to fit that mold because most of the technology sector is still propped up on venture capital funds. And it's exhausting to have to keep entertaining this or have this continually forced on me.
Yeah, no, AI is... It went from being like, whoa, wait, is this the next big thing, to like just another NFT-esque grift really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I mean, like, I do think that this obviously has more potential than like NFTs, but I don't know if it'll properly like explore that potential because of the easiness to make a quick buck.
Right. But what like, if example we put number, AI on the blockchain?
Then you're going to make $1 trillion. You're going to be the first trillionaire.
Buko bucks, baby.
Yeah. I just feel like basically it's example number 5 million of how capitalism fails in like, there is no motivation to make the superior, like perfect product. The best way to make a lot of money is to, yeah, like you said, first mover advantage, like get in there quick before you can actually make like a good product that can actually advance the field. Like, you kind of need outside motivation for it to actually kind of turn into something spectacular. Like, you need a Cold War and two behemoth governments pumping untold billions of dollars. That's how you really take like a great leap forward in technological advancement, because there's no necessarily profit incentive in going to the moon. But if you just kind of really want to, because of dick measuring, then
yeah,
you can make it happen. So if one government was like, oh, it would be a huge competitive advantage if we just like created the end all be all AI and pumped unbelievable amounts of money into it, then, you know, that could make a difference.
And as far as I'm aware, no one's really doing that. Like, every company I've seen engage with it, broadly at least, is doing so in a way, oh, this is a marketing thing. Like, this is...
It's a chatbot. Like, it's, yeah. They're
it's
making...
It's Clippy.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's the AI assistant that you and Ryan was talking about. Like, yeah. It is just something that will spell check for you, or, like, give you a, you know, a three-sentence paragraph based on a prompt, or it'll search the internet for you, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Also, hello, I'm Lucas DeRuyter, and I had an IRL, I think you should leave moment. May I describe that to you?
Please.
Of course. So last Saturday, I think that was, my partner Maria and I, we're going on a little walk, we're going to get a little snack from a shop down the street, taking in the day, the heat is just broken. And we come across some people we recognize from our building, like in a part of their little dog walking group. And we're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Start talking about stuff going around, on around the neighborhood and the building, yada, yada. And then we start chatting to a woman we didn't recognize who lived in a building near our neighborhood, talking to her a little bit. I've never had someone go like this fast and deep on their life story as what just occurred to me. So we ask her, hey, I think you said your building is rent controlled. Do you mind if we ask what you paid for it? Like, how you got there? Yada, yada, yada. She tells us, and then she's like, yeah, but you know, I like where I'm living. Had a fight to stay there, though. I got in because the building manager is my ex-sister-in-law. And let me tell you, my husband was a piece of work. And after I kicked his ass out the door, she'd try to get me out of the building. She turned into a real bitch with a capital C, if you know what I'm saying. And just exploding at me with weird profanity and at an intensity that was... I've known this woman for 3 minutes. And that is out the gate. Out the gate with it.
Welcome to my world, man. This shit happens to me all the time. Like, Yeah, that's it's always uncomfortable, but like there are people out there that will just at the drop of a hat tell you everything about them, like in a negative way.
Are people lonelier than I realize?
Yes, like, that's a thing. People are lonely.
Because like that's the only thing I can fathom of like someone maybe not even like fully realizing it themselves, but just so desperate to connect with someone else that they're like, oh God, new person, gotta get it all out there as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I mean, there's also people that have like grievances, you know, they feel like they're grievances that might be directed at like the world. So it's appropriate to spew them off like on anybody because they're part of the world. Like, oh, you should know this because I'm pissed off. Like, and that is a reason to tell you, stranger, about this thing that I'm pissed off about. And some people are just mentally ill. Like there's a lot of that going around. Like people are mentally unstable. And like sometimes if you're just a little bit mentally unstable, you tell people things you maybe shouldn't.
I guess I forget that some people are incapable of having a normal one.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also, like, sometimes, like, depending on where you are on the, you know, the mental health spectrum, like, sometimes you got barriers with, like, oversharing and boundaries aren't always there. It's just how some people are. It doesn't make them pieces of shit. But then sometimes there are pieces of shit that feel like everybody should know the thing that they're mad about. And sometimes it's the government or the Jews, you know, like people like that. Like you run into people all the time that are like, oh, hey, look, a breathing other human being. I need to tell them about the lasers and shit like that.
I mean, it goes back too to like some of the extremist viewpoints. And it's like, well, when you understand where they're coming from, it makes a little bit more sense logically. Like it's still
how they got to where they are speaking. Yeah.
But if they really think that, like, you know, abortion, for example, is murder, then it's like, I guess I can see how you would be willing to literally murder people for it, even though that seems pretty morally problematic to, you know, murder people. Same with, you know, like, I don't know, in religion in general. Like, if you think that, like, everyone who does not convert to your religion is going to literally burn in a fiery inferno for forever, then I could start to see why you might be a little bit more like, hey,
have you heard about this guy, Jesus Christ?
Spread this word, because otherwise all these people are going to suffer for eternity. And it's like, okay, if you're a true believer, you can start to see the logic, at least.
I kind of want to hear the pitch.
Wait, which pitch? The good news?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You have
know?
You never like, been approached by a...
Yeah, you've never been approached like by like an evangelical?
Not that I can recall. Like, I'm kind of... Oh. Yeah, now that I think about it, like growing up Catholic, being indoctrinated into that, I've never been like... Yeah, I've never had someone... What can they do for me? You know, like what? Why Catholicism? Why Christianity? Why any religion over another? Like, what can you do for me in the afterlife?
You do the like, sell me this pen.
Yeah, but God.
Yeah, sell me on it. I'll think about it. Yeah, there's a group of Mormons that live in the building right next to mine. So I get approached by them all the time. And then, yeah, just like people on the street, especially at like public events, usually just tell them like, hey, no, thanks. Have a good day. Like, I'm out. But
Andrew, can Sony sell you on a PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 5 Digital Edition Slim?
No. Have you seen them? They're perfectly proportional. They look exactly like the current PS5, yes. But like 80% of the size. Like if this thing was like a laptop, if it was flat, if it was like a PlayStation 4 Slim, you know, whatever, they're low profile, little, cheap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I didn't already have one, I would say, yeah, I would get that one instead of the regular one. But they are still just weirdly shaped and unwieldy. and not that much smaller. Like, I don't get it.
What, they are 20% smaller, though. Why would I pay the same amount of money for 20% less console?
But it, I mean, the specs aren't smaller, right? Like,
no, because no,
sometimes when they release like slim versions, they are light versions,
right?
They don't have as much storage or processing or whatever.
Like what Xbox did with whatever
the digital edition,
yeah. Although speaking of the digital edition, that one is going to cost $50 more than the existing model. Seemingly because that one has the ability to have an external disk drive attached to it, which is the most like boardroom solution to a problem I think I've ever heard. Like,
So the disk slim is the same price as the full size disk,
correct?
And the diskless slim is more money than the regular diskless.
So $50 more than what is currently available in the model, that $50 more than the model that is currently available in America, but that one had a price increase internationally a couple months back, I believe. So this is kind of catching up to that.
Okay. So it's getting it up to the price that it is everywhere else.
Yes. But I was being a little nudge, nudge, wink, wink with it. But yes, essentially you are paying $50 more for a console that does have 200 gigabytes more storage in the Slim.
Well, there's that.
That's true of the regular model as well. But you can also attach an external disk drive. Why not just buy the one with a disk in it? I don't know. Give people the option.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Well, like, I can get, like, if some kid wanted the disc version and like their grandparents got them the one without the disc drive, and or if you get the digital one because it's cheaper and then later on you like get a deal on some like physical games and you want to be able to play them, or you want to be able to play your old PS4 games. But it is still kind of like, at that point you're gonna have to pay for the disc drive. Why don't you just pay the extra $50 to get the disc version? It's weird.
This also feels a little superfluous, right? Like, I understand last generation's like PlayStation Pro, like the mid-life cycle upgrade made. This feels superfluous a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
And now I'm trying to see.
It's kind of like the whole do you remember the PlayStation handheld streaming thing that we talked about it a while back when they announced it, and as kind of like the, who is this for? Why does this exist? Like, who is this for? Who is going to buy a diskless version of a PlayStation 5 and then get a disk drive? Who is going to get this handheld PlayStation streaming device that requires you to have a PlayStation 5 and a NORAD level Wi-Fi connection?
And now I am rapidly searching online to try to see if previously when this happened, like the new models cost less or anything like that, because I just don't know the motivation of releasing these, you know? Why change it up? Why do that?
I don't get it. I've been a Sony loyalist for a really long time, but I feel like they've stumbled a little bit with this generation of console. Part of that is Xbox acquiring every single game developer under the moon and like seemingly having a really good lineup of games and like a good like product in the whole like Xbox Live game library thing, whatever it's called, Game Pass.
Yes.
And PlayStation kind of failing on all of that. Like the game lineup is not big. Their whole like slim version thing is really stupid. Their handheld streaming thing is really stupid. They're like, it doesn't really seem like they have a great plan moving forward, and they're just making a lot of movies and TV shows. based on games that already came out a decade ago. So yeah, it's weird.
It's going to be really interesting to see how much of that course corrects with Jim Ryan no longer the CEO there. But then for what it's worth, I don't know, Sony strategy. I feel like everyone has two of like the Sony IP that they really want to keep up with. I would have bought a PlayStation just for the new Death Stranding, but I'm also delighted that Demon's Souls, that remake, is also the best game I've played on PlayStation 5 so far. So,
and that's a remake of a game that came out 15 years ago.
Yeah. Still good. Still the best game on PlayStation 5 right now.
Yeah, but that's bad. Like, yeah. I'm not saying that it isn't good or that it's bad that you like that game. I'm saying that it's bad that a remake of an old video game is the best game that PlayStation has to offer right now.
And that actually is a fantastic talking point to do a transition of another item I have on this. But yeah, the Xbox executive, Phil Spencer, he said as much in some documentation that got out as a part of, I forget if it was, a part of the lawsuit of Sony trying to block the merger, the acquisition. But yeah, he put out some internal memos that were like, hey, so the IP being produced by AAA developers that are all doing well, those are all more than a decade old and are about to be trying to get blood from a stone type situations. This all doesn't seem sustainable. We're not sure how to change that or address it, but yeah, that's a heads up about the state of the gaming industry. That's not great.
Yeah. I mean, The Last of Us is like maybe dead in the water. Like, I know that multiplayer standalone game that they were going to have is like on an indefinite freeze. It might never come out. The Uncharted series is done. Jack and Daxter is never coming back. The Horizon series is really good, but not like nearly as popular as it needs to be in order to like be the flagship of Sony.
Or even the stuff that you thought was like sure money a decade ago, Halo, Call of Duty, those aren't what they used to be, either in quality or I imagine monetarily. That's gotta be weird. Anyway, Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard King. Finally went through. Here's some of the IP they own. Crash Bandicoot, Call of Duty, Diablo, Guitar Hero, Hexen, King's Quest, Overwatch, Police Quest, SWAT, Skylanders, Space Quest, a lot of quests.
Yeah.
StarCraft, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultimate Soccer Manager, Warcraft, World of Warcraft, Candy Crush. Oh, every Bethesda game.
Nice.
They own Halo. Oh, they own Gears of War. I knew that. They own Blue Dragon? Oh, they own Banjo-Kazooie.
Whoa.
Killer Instinct. Kinect Sports.
Oh, that's a big one.
Look out now.
Yeah.
I forgot they bought Minecraft.
Yeah, Microsoft's owned Minecraft for a while now.
Yeah. Oh, Zoo Tycoon.
A lot of defunct titles, I'm noticing.
Yeah. They're going to revive them.
They're going to revive Guitar Hero.
That is a thing.
Oh, really?
I saw an article about it like yesterday that like they are planning to revive Guitar Hero.
So how does that work when like Clone Hero is just better and free
and online? Like, I can't imagine that it requires much of a like powerful computer, right?
No, no, it's like, totally
you should be able. Could you do it on a Chromebook?
I don't know about a Chromebook, but you can't play Guitar Hero on a Chromebook either.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, why, like, how are they going to make money off of that game when it's already like a better version of it is already accessible to like 90% of people out there?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sometimes ideas were not meant to be monetized. And rhythm guitar games might be one of them.
They Boy, those had their moment.
Yeah.
We're losing our culture. Oh, they also own Conker, as in Conker's Bad Fur Day. They made another one of those.
I don't know.
Oh, I do know that one.
That's like the raunchiest N64 game that ever released.
Yeah, it's Conker, like Conker or something like that.
Is it like Postal, but for N64?
No, it's a cartoon squirrel with a foul mouth.
Yeah, it's kind of like if Mario 64 was made by Rick and Morty.
Oh, fun.
But like, not nearly like that level, but
yeah. Not even that good?
No.
You guys are selling it real hard.
This is weird. It's weird that Microsoft, it's not weird that Microsoft is buying up people wholesale in game, since Microsoft as a company has infinite money. It's weird that Xbox is way in last place in gaming and now owns a bunch of these really noticeable and also really niche IP.
Yeah. I mean, look, the second that antitrust legislation fails us, this is like the logical conclusion of capitalism is massive, massive mergers, like beyond what you could even imagine before modern capitalism, basically. So, yeah, it makes sense that if, you know, legislators aren't going to crack down, this is what's going to happen, y'all.
Also, I think King only has like three games without the word saga in their title. We got Rebel Riders, we got Shuffle Cats, Paradise Bay. That's it. Everything else has a saga, including Scrub Daddy Saga.
Is that like the Scrub Daddy, like the
sponge?
Yeah, the sponge.
I mean, King wasn't always huge, so maybe they... Wow, that's not even coming up as a game. No clue what this is. Huh.
Yikes.
Well, Microsoft owns it now. You paid for that. You paid $1 billion for that, Microsoft.
Yep. For that one in particular.
Good job.
Scrub Daddy Saga. And they're like, billion. 1 billion. And they're like, sold.
How long until we can't play Call of Duty on PlayStation anymore?
I don't know. Haven't they talked about like how they're not going to go exclusive on it?
Yeah, but
they will.
That's not legally binding.
But it's more money for them, I think, in the long run, if they actually cater to half of the audience. Like, I don't think Call of Duty is the type of title that's going to force people to necessarily buy an Xbox. Could be wrong.
Mm.
But it seems like a very risky maneuver for them to sacrifice potentially half of their software income, hoping that it'll boost their hardware income. Like, I guess if anything, it would be at the launch of the next generation consoles, right? Like,
yeah,
to try to force more sales there. But I don't know.
Unity CEO and long-hated figure in gaming, John Riccitiello, retires from his role at Unity. Yeah, no follow-up there other than good, I guess. But also, Unity is just going to continue to become a worse company because, boy, they have a board. They have other people. Like, John Riccitiello is a symptom of the problems there. And more broadly, in the late-stage capitalism, heavily affected gaming industry. So, yeah, no, like, it's only going to get worse over there. Don't develop on Unity if you can help it, people. Yeah. Also, we got a trailer for the Scott Pilgrim anime. My only request is that they don't change any of the dirtbaggery.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think that is going to be a faithful adaptation of the comics.
Okay.
And that no one will complain. No one will complain about this piece of media that is fundamentally about bad human scumbaggy people learning to be a little bit better. They'll be totally cool with people making mistakes as they go on a journey of self-betterment. No one's going to react poorly to a 24-year-old dating a 17-year-old.
You're worried about cancel culture coming for Scott Pilgrim?
I feel like you've canceled Scott Pilgrim in the past. Like you've been like, Scott Pilgrim, yeah, that's weird.
I mean, Scott Pilgrim as a character should be canceled. He can get soft canceled for a little while, but as a piece of media, pretty good. Pretty responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it well?
I think so.
No notes.
I mean, if the anime like has characters smoking less or using less profanity, I think they're missing the point of what Scott Pilgrim is about a little bit. But
it's about smoking and profanity. Yeah,
smoking is back. Lucas and smoking is just...
Is this why you brought this up last week? Because you were thinking about the possibility of less smoking in Scott Pilgrim? A movie that I don't remember featuring that much smoking.
The comic has a lot of smoking. A decent amount of smoking. A reasonable amount of smoking for towny young adults. Let's put it like that.
Oh, yeah.
What age group is young adult? Because I feel like actual young adults and like the book demographic young adult are different.
Yeah, I feel like when I was in high school, young adults were what they called us. Like, you know, people that were 15, 16, 17 years old, but not legal adults.
Yeah.
But then I feel like once I was in college, that's what I was still called.
Mm-hmm.
Was a young adult, like a legal adult that wasn't old yet.
And I feel like, at some point, young adult went from, like teenagers, like mid-teenagers to like actual young adults. I don't know when, because I always felt like a bit of like a what's it called?
Oxymoron.
Yeah, not an oxymoron. What is the term I'm thinking of? Like when you're kind of like looking down on someone, and you're kind of like, oh, I'll give you this one. Like, fuck, man.
Judgmental.
No, not judgmental.
Bonsai.
Dude, this is gonna drive me crazy.
Favor.
No, it's kind of like you're patronizing.
Patronizing.
It always felt patronizing, you know, like it always felt like, hey, you're a young adult, like, but it was, but everyone knew you weren't and you didn't have any rights. Like,
yeah,
that's, I feel like that's how it used to be. And maybe it's not so much anymore, but you know,
I definitely think a part of that is that a lot of people about our age never stopped reading YA fiction. So yeah. Maybe that demo was fluid and aged up with them. Not in terms of contact, of course, but in like who was in the audience.
Millennials do love their young adult fiction, even at the age of 35.
How the fuck are there still people who only read Harry Potter? It's weird. Read a different book.
I think they do read different books. I think they just continuously also read Harry Potter.
I don't like it. I don't like Harry Potter.
Yeah, you don't like Harry Potter at all. Did you ever read it as a kid?
I think I tried it. I think I gave the first chapter a try and was like, not for me.
I've literally never read it. So I know nothing about it.
I mean, I read it when I was a kid. And then like, you know, how old were we when the last books would have come out? You know, probably like early high school.
I think 7th grade, 8th grade.
Yeah, something like that. Like, and I read them. And I liked them. Like, I liked them a lot when I read them. But then again, like, I was a teenager at the very oldest. Like, the first Harry Potter book I would have read, I was probably, like, 8 years old.
You had shit taste.
I mean, yeah. But also, like, they were perfectly good books. Like, they were. Like, people that, like, shit on Harry Potter by saying that they were really bad books are missing the point. Harry Potter sucks because the author is a huge bigot and the people that are still really into Harry Potter are fucking weirdos. But like the Harry Potter books were fine and the movies were fine. Like, you know, that's not the bad part here. It's like, you know, Disney adults. It's the same thing. Disney movies, fine. A lot of them are really good. But when you make it your whole identity, that's the weird bad part. Am I wrong here?
Mid.
Yeah, you're wrong, dude. You're wrong as shit. No, I don't know.
I gave him a chapter, and I was like, nah, no.
One chapter? Read a book? That's not fair.
Was 11. I had a lot going on. You got to hook me out of the gate. Otherwise, I'm not wasting my time.
At that point, you were reading the Percy Jackson books. I remember. You loved
And they
those.
Came in strong. Percy Jackson? Cool shit.
It's the same thing.
He fights a minotaur out of the gate.
They fight other things in Harry Potter. I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to talk to a snake, and that's engaging. My mean parents aren't going to let me have this pet owl who's delivering mail.
Not his parents. Yeah, very famously not his parents. Yeah, that's kind of the whole, books. Is that they're not his parents.
His parents are dead.
I really want to go to private school, but my mean aunt and uncle won't let me.
Like, I got like maybe 3 or 4 chapters into Dune and stopped it, but I don't go around like shitting on Dune. Like, I'm like, I did not give it a fair shot. Like,
but to be fair to you, that is everyone's experience reading Dune. It is an impossibly dense book. Like, I've never even tried.
Clearly it's very popular. Clearly some people read it, because otherwise it wouldn't have this whole.
But it's a. Culture. It's almost. People almost read it because it's a challenge. It's like people that read like Infinite Jest or Gravity's Rainbow. They don't do it because it's a really good book. They do it because it's hard as shit to read.
I think people exclusively read Infinite Jest because they're insufferable and they're trying to be even more insufferable.
They're just trying to ramp it up. Insufferability. Yeah. I can see it.
All right, that's enough of podcast inflammatory comments for me today. What are y'all checking out? What are we talking about? What are we doing?
Me and Angel went back, and we did end up watching more Gen V.
Oh, shit.
Mm. It's not bad.
Reclaimed!
I still don't think it's good.
Okay.
I stand by that. I am getting more into the characters in just the, like, oh, these aren't bad guys. Just straight up. The superheroes are good guys in this. And I guess maybe I could see, like, the social disconnect being the whole Gen V of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Gen V, like, the whole Compound V of it all. Because, like, it is becoming now more and more of, like, an actual thing in the universe of, like, man, when it dropped, like, when the Compound V stuff dropped, like, all this shit changed, you know? Like, so I guess maybe that's the catalyst to actually having like decent people as superheroes, you know, like even the bad guy superheroes in the show for the most part are just like flawed and like trying to make their way and are not actual villains at all. So it's kind of weird to wrap your head around that, knowing what you know about the boys. And I can't wait for Butcher to experience these like good guy superheroes, because it's kind of weird. But then like there's even a whole episode where like they bring in this private eye. It reminds me very much of
Invincible.
Yeah, Invincible. Oh. They have the detective.
The demon detective played by Mr. Like Krabs.
Which again, both on Amazon, already have some like trouble with like brand recognition there. But yeah, and then he's like 40 and he's a massive piece of shit. So it's like you know, like, I don't know how much of this is intentional that, like, nah, all of these kids that you're following are good guys or just like regular college kids, you know?
Right.
Like, it's kind of strange.
They're either good or 19. Like, right. What do you want from them?
They even had a young a superhero who, I guess his superpower was that he looks like he's like 15 or 14.
Oh.
Like Invincible. They just. The parallels are kind of getting strange, but yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad TV, but sometimes confusing with what we know about the original.
Do you think it's going to do the thing where, hey, if you want the next season of The Boys to make sense, you really got to watch all the Gen V to the end?
No, because even with this, like, they make sure it stands alone. I think that they'll be Easter eggs for sure. Mm. Like, there'll 100% be stuff that, like, will not work for you if you don't, you know, know about the Gen V timeline, but I don't think that it'll be like actual important plot details necessarily. Similar to this, it's like, yeah, the whole reveal about Compound V, which was a big fucking thing in The Boys, is also a big fucking thing in this universe. But like, you know, you
don't. So this is taking place concurrently. Like,
no, this is afterwards. This is like, I'm guessing after the events of The Boys.
So they,
like, they don't show like them leaking Compound V, but they show like the characters talking about what happened when it leaked. So like the timeline of the show, The Boys, I feel like this happens, like basically picks up where The Boys has left off in its most recent season.
They leaked Compound V at the end of season two, right?
I think so. Yeah, that was the big thing.
Because I remember Black Noir crying, and he was dead by the end of season three.
It was not in season three. It was like 3 years ago in the events of the show.
Okay.
Compound V was leaked. So, or however many years ago.
So. Are the fights interesting? Are the powers interesting? How they intersect with each other?
Yeah, they have like unique superpowers for sure. It's very Boys-esque where it's like, oh shit, that's a weird superpower to have, you know, like, but that would make sense. Like, they wouldn't all be just like flying and being able to punch people really well. Yeah. There'd be some weird shit.
Long penis
guy.
Yeah, they did bring him back for a little cameo. So that's fun.
Sure.
Like a cameo, like you don't even see. Okay. It's just a reference of like, aha.
No, but like
the Boys watchers.
That's what I really liked about some of the writing in season one. And this might be just a me specific thing, but yeah, I don't know. Even the scene where it's, and this is doing a Superman riff, but Homelander on the plane. And like, he doesn't, oh yeah, he's the strongest superhero by a mile. He doesn't have the skill set to land a plane to save everyone on that plane.
That was such a good scene looking back on it. Mm-hmm. Like, that was honestly peak The Boys. Like, everyone's perfectly motivated. Like, it all makes sense. It's all happening in our world. Like, the physics of it all, of just like, I'd punch right through the fucking plane. Like, I can't lift a plane out of the sky. Like, that doesn't work. That makes no sense. Like, it's, that was definitely good stuff.
And if you had done anything besides laser the terrorists, like solve that situation any other way, he would have avoided that consequence. Yeah. But that was the easiest solution. So of course he fucking did it.
Yeah. He lasers everything. They even set that up in the earlier episodes that he loves to just laser shit rather than actually do any sort of fighting. Because, yeah, if there was a superhero who was like morally kind of
why would he punch someone when just looking at them would just get the exact same situation done, like the end result.
Yeah.
He could punch a dude's head off, or he could just look at him for half a second and his head's gone. Like, why do anything else?
Superman would never fight any other way. But, you know, then they use that weird stuff in the later seasons to kind of...
What if we punched him really hard?
What if we held him on the ground and he just kind of shook around a little bit? The most powerful being ever feasibly imagined. I don't... they're struggling with it. I had faith in them that they'd be like, we'll find a way to make this fight satisfying. And yeah, similar to Game of Thrones, like, you know, they built up nothing but goodwill. So you're like, I don't know how they're going to bring this around, but like, if anyone can do it, and then they didn't.
They're also now
where they're at.
Fully off of the script of the comic, which a lot of the changes they had made in season one and season two, I think for the best, definitely. The twist with Black Noir, also probably correct. The twist of the comic was really edgelordy, like a lot of the comic. But what do they do now? Where do they go from here? How do they stick this landing?
Yeah, how do you kill an unkillable god? Like, you kind of back yourself into a corner a little bit with the writing there.
Hey, they put the other unkillable god in ice, so you can bust that out at any time, I guess.
I feel like Soldier Boy is just not Homelander. Like, he's really not. He's the best shot they've got, similar to Invincible, the fucking, what's his name? Who's the guy that they sewed his head back on? What was it?
Oh, that sewed his head.
Just
it's Omni-Man, the immortal. But it's weaker. The immortal.
Yeah, the immortal. Yeah. Yeah. Similar to the immortal. It's like Soldier Boy's their best chance because he's the second best. So if you get him and a bunch more shit, maybe you got a shot. Yeah, like,
but we never got like an accurate scale. Like if Soldier Boy was 80% as strong as Homelander, then it kind of made sense that adding a fewer weaker people would like kind of get you almost even, where like Homelander was on the ropes in that fight. But we don't know if he's 80% as strong as Homelander or if he's 30% as strong as Homelander. Right. And the next closest person is only 10% as strong as Homelander.
And Soldier Boy can't fucking fly. Like, I just, the weird just,
or laser
debuff that the lasers, like, I feel like you can make people resistant to lasers, you know, like they can be superhero strong and like lasers work really well against human beings, but not against superheroes necessarily. But like, yo, you forget like his main power. Like, it's kind of the first thing you do if you were
main
in
power
trouble.
Is drinking milk. Let's be clear.
That's a big time power. But one thing that Gen V is struggling with is that they keep sending in fucking red shirts to like try to deal with the superhero stuff, and they keep getting murdered. And it's just like, so like, when would Vought send in fucking superheroes? You know, like, when, why are they going to keep sending in these special forces guys that just keep getting their shit rocked?
So they're like, literally normies. You're sending in
regular guys.
Yeah. And the people keep like begging for their lives and stuff and trying to be like, oh, I'm a single dad. I've got two daughters. Their names are Delilah. And then they're just getting like murked. And it's just like, okay, but like, this is like the seventh time you've tried this and it didn't work the other six. So like, when are you going to send in some soups, you know? Like,
yeah. All right. Which one of our grunts has the saddest backstory? Your time to get in there.
Yeah. And they even make like jokes about it. Like, they're just like, oh, that's Bob here. And he's like, no, that one's Greg. Like, that they're just faceless, like, goons that the superheroes can kill. Like, I don't know. So it's not perfect. It's probably worth watching. You guys should probably check out the first episode as potential fans of The Boys. Like, it's definitely got something there, but I don't know where it's going. Maybe it'll be a nice breath of fresh air and it'll kind of land this season on its feet and be a good little like, oh, getting a little tired of like the fact that the boys back themselves into a corner. Like, check out Gen V where the superheroes are good guys.
Andrew, what have you been checking out?
I've checked out a few things in the last week. Ryan, I see your shirt. That reminds me that I finished the final season of Archer.
Yeah, oh, series finale.
Yeah.
Did they stick it?
Not really. I mean, like, it was fine. But, like, that was kind of the whole season. Like, I think I told you what they were doing with the last season or the previous season of Archer, where it's like, oh, yeah, it's still, no, going back to like office comedy, but like with spies as the backdrop.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they did that. It just wasn't as funny as it had been in the past. Hasn't been for a while.
Maybe because season was 14 anymore, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't know like if Archer really holds up or if they ran out of material. There was a couple of plot lines that they like developed last season that just didn't exist anymore. Like, The main subplot line of the, like, the main plot of the previous season was that they were like trying to get control of their spy agency back.
Mm-hmm.
The subplot line was that Pam got a girlfriend.
Oh,
this like kick-ass Swiss spy lady that she had been like crushing over for a while. And then like they developed a relationship and it was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, they finally developed some of these characters a little bit. There was some growth that hadn't been there for a really long time. She doesn't exist in this season. Like,
no.
Like, that plot line ended with them going official. And it was like, call her your girlfriend already. Like, ew. Like, no. Like, what are you, 14? This is my polyamorous number one. And then just never mentioned again in the season. They did, however, introduce a new main character with 8 episodes of the season left. Ex-Interpol agent Zara. She's young and hot and British and basically just a younger version of Archer, like just as unhinged and alcoholic. Like that was the whole thing, is that she's like, Archer, you're old, and he's like, you're stupid, and that was their dynamic. Didn't go anywhere with it. Like Zara was added to the show for kind of no reason other than another character.
Isn't that Lana's thing?
Yeah, Lana is the head of the spy agency now because Mallory's gone because Jessica Walter died.
Mm. So and she can't have that same dynamic with Archer?
Because their dynamic is, I'm your boss now, and you're also my baby daddy. And their kid was a character in the last season, and they never appear once, or I want to say even mention them.
Good.
So it was just weird that they like started to kind of be like, let's develop these characters that we've had around for 14 years and like give them new dimensions that we hadn't really like thought of before, and then drop it all.
Yeah.
And then the show ends, spoiler alert, with like the UN being like, hey, we need to talk about some of the bad shit you guys are doing. And then like it ends with them being like, yeah, you guys are done. Like you're all private spy agencies can't exist anymore. You got 30 days to disband. And then they're like, oh, that sucks. And then the show's over.
Damn. Yeah, that's not great.
And not even in like a Seinfeld sort of way where they go back and like reveal all the bad shit that they did. The UN thing was happening in the background of like the mission of the week. And then they're like, oh yeah, the UN shut us down. It's stupid. Other than that, I watched the newest season of The Dragon Prince while I was donating platelets.
Oh, that's out?
Yeah.
Huh.
It kind of came out of nowhere. They didn't announce it. They were just like, it's here. So like I saw it on Netflix while I was donating platelets, and I watched it. Pretty boring. Not great. Wouldn't recommend it. Jade and I watched Ocean's 11 over the weekend. We went out to a hotel in Baraboo, otherwise known as the Joshua Tree of Wisconsin.
Of course.
Which hotel did you go to?
The Willowwood Inn. It's just a roadside, like cutesy roadside hotel we've been to. But they have VHS tapes.
Oh my God.
And they had Ocean's 11, which we had brought up.
We just brought that up recently. That
immaculate timing.
Jade never seen it. Didn't really know any George Clooney movies. Didn't like George Clooney. And I said, okay, come on, we got to watch it. She thought Ocean's 11 was the 11th iteration of an action movie series that takes place on a boat. Just for no reason other than the title. And she did not know that it was a heist movie. When I explained to her what it was, she's like, oh, that actually sounds really good.
It is good.
Yeah, and we watched it and she's like, yeah, that was really good.
Ocean's 11 is like Pulp Fiction, where it's like, no, this movie got like lampooned in pop culture because it was good, not because like it was shitty. Like,
yeah, it's so iconic. Like you've seen not just lampoons, but like you've seen just shitty knockoffs of people going like, hey, we got to do this thing for a movie. Let's do an Ocean's 11 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole like describing the heist as it's actually like playing out happening on screen, like the planning is the real heist.
The getting the crew together and they've all got their different skills.
That's
and
straight out of Ocean's 11. Like, that's
then
the whole
and
thing.
Then there's, oh, you thought this was happening? Well, you didn't know like, secretly this whole time, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
blah.
I'm explaining the plan. The real plan has been happening. Like, yeah, that's all Ocean's 11. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you guys enjoyed. I haven't watched a movie on VHS in an ungodly amount of time, and I am very curious.
What? Did you see the whole thing? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Lucas.
No, go ahead.
Did you see the whole thing with Pete Davidson a couple days ago? He was interviewed on some late night show, and he's like, yeah, the last VHS tape was made in 2006, and he owns like almost all of the unsealed VHS copies available in the world. It has been stockpiling them in order to then sell them at like huge profits. He's like, yeah, he has like 4,000 sealed VHS tapes at like an assistant's house.
He lives in New York. Where was he storing these?
I was at an assistant's house.
Okay. Like, that's mean to that assistant.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said like, yeah, no, their girlfriend doesn't like it. But he said like, yeah, like it got cool. They became like collector's items. And now I have acquired almost all of them and are selling them for like $20,000 each.
Is there a caveat on this? Is this like VHS films or like...
They're just sealed VHS copies of movies.
Okay. Am I the only one who's surprised that Pete Davidson has that kind of money?
Nah, that dude's loaded.
I know, but he doesn't seem like it, right?
Well, that's his whole thing.
His whole thing is he's a dirtbag, but he's been in major motion pictures. He's been the lead on TV shows.
Yeah, like, he's got that show on Peacock.
Yeah, like he's loaded, loaded.
And he was probably like one of the highest paid people on SNN for a while because of his fame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he probably got SNL Ariana and Kim Kardashian to, you know, dole him out some cash. Yeah.
Had some sugar mamas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Pete Davidson. Pete Sugar Baby.
Not talked enough about in... No. Pop culture is the sugar mama.
Mm.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That's been a thing that I've had to do in my office because I have very few football fans in my office and a lot of Swifties is people not understanding how good Travis Kelce is at football.
And just, he's not just a guy.
Right. Yeah. Just assuming it's like a Chris Humphreys, Kim Kardashian situation where it's just a guy in the NFL. It's like, no, imagine this is... He's very famous for being very, very good. Like, he is in the discussion for the best player of all time at his position. Like, this is not... No, I understand why most people wouldn't have heard of him, because he's a fucking tight end and he blocks half the time. But, like, this dude is not... He's not a football player. He is a superstar. Like, any NFL fan will know who Travis Kelce is. Like, this is kind of a big thing. And I know... You know, to someone who doesn't care about football, it wouldn't be. But like, there's a reason that, like, I don't know. If fucking, I'm trying to think of like the most random NFL player I can think of. If I don't know if he's still in the league, but like if Kiko Alonso was dating Taylor Swift, like, yeah, they'd probably show her in the crowd. But it's not the same thing because when you show her, you get the football fans and the Swifties. Like, you wouldn't get just the Swifties. Like, big time football fans tune in to watch Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like,
Ryan, from your direct experience, what are Swifties enthusiastic about this new relationship? Do they have concern? Like, okay,
no, they're like, yeah, they're very protective of Taylor Swift, but like, no, they're excited that she's dating someone. They enjoy when she's in a relationship because it means more content.
I mean, and also stuff. Travis Kelce is a personality. Like, Travis Kelce didn't just, you know, start getting in all these commercials because of Taylor Swift. Like, Travis Kelce is a personality.
He was Mr. Pfizer.
Yeah. He's got a monocle on.
Mr. Pfizer 2023.
Peanuts, it's just like fucking syringes. Instead of a cane and a monocle, he's got syringes.
And a football.
Yeah. I'm Mr. Pfizer. I'm a... simple country folk with my...
I'm Mr. Pfizer. I'm Mr. Sun.
My mRNA vaccine technology has really come a long way. It's gotten me a place or two. Oh, wait, is he going to die tragically in a car accident? And then it's going to be baby Pfizer?
Oh, he's going to get born again? Oh, yeah, there's baby Gronk. Why isn't there baby Kelce?
Oh, my God. Is he going to... Oh, he's going to riz up Livy Dunn. Look out. That's next.
God damn it.
And then he's going to commit to LSU.
We are so many fucking layers deep at this point. Marie and I are continuing our Wes Anderson filmography watch through. I don't know if I like The Life Aquatic or... The Dejeerling Limited more. Like, both good films in different ways. I guess Life Aquatic is more fun.
Yeah. I've never seen Dejeerling Unlimited, but yeah, like, have to imagine Life Aquatic is more of like a for mass consumption movie.
Yeah. Okay. So the weird thing with the Djirling Unlimited is that like the premise is these three brothers, year after their dad died, they go on a journey to India, kind of a little, one of those like white people spirit. Yes, yeah. Ryan, good audience who can't see us. Ryan has side-eyed.
It's Spider-Man. Like they make fun of that in Spider-Man. The whole like, oh, you're just gonna find yourself. You're gonna go to India and find yourself, like every white person who's ever lived. Yeah,
that's what they try to do. And actually, like I think Wes Anderson pretty effectively avoids any like Orientalism tropes there, and it's kind of making a point of, hey, that's actually a problem, and you shouldn't use a country with like with people and culture and like, yeah, you shouldn't use them as an escape for your problems. The only problem is that this movie came out a year after the book Eat, Pray, Love came out. Yeah. And the idea of doing that got really popularized. So I think, Djirling Unlimited, Djirling Limited might be Wes Anderson's most slept on movie, because I'm pretty good, but I knew nothing about it and never heard anyone talk about it prior to watching. Also, first appearance of Adrian Brody in Wes's cavalcade of actors. Pretty good.
Cavalcade of actors.
Yeah. Got Jason Schwartzman back. He's barefoot for most of the movie.
Can't stand that guy. I don't know what it is. Not a fan.
You don't like the original Short King?
No.
Oh.
Just vibes are the opposite of immaculate.
Wow.
Vibes are filthy. Don't know what it is.
This is the weirdest celebrity beef I've ever heard of. Okay.
You don't have actors that you don't like? That, like, you don't know why. You just, they give you the ick. Just you see them. And you're like, not so much.
The only ones I can think of are people who have been canceled. So, yeah.
You've never just disliked an actor because of their performances, nothing due to like actual real life shit. Like, just because you're like, they really don't do it for me.
I'm about to Google bad actors.
No, not bad actors. I don't know that Jason Schwartzman is objectively a bad actor. Just like an actor that might be celebrated that you don't get. Like, you're like, I don't know the hype. I don't get it.
Not that I can think of.
Andrew, what you got?
I'm really struggling to think of who I don't like as actors. I'm gonna say a guy, and the thing is that I do like them in some things, so this doesn't really count, but like Jake Gyllenhaal gives me the ick.
I can see that. Like, yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal gives me ick.
Yeah, that's fair.
For sure.
Yeah, like, that's also fair.
Like, I like Nightcrawler from Jake Gyllenhaal, and I like...
Nightcrawler might be why I don't like Jake Gyllenhaal, because I hated that character so much. Not because he did a bad job, but like, he's such a despicable person.
He is.
That now I just associate, like, I probably couldn't see Zodiac without, you know, thinking like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal fucking sucks.
That is fair. I think he turned in an admirable performance, although the character was, yes, absolutely despicable.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is, I don't like Nightcrawler. It is a good movie, objectively, but like, it made me feel bad.
Made you feel all the bad.
Maybe Mark Wahlberg, but like,
that's fair.
Why not?
Hey. I'm gonna back you up on that one. I don't like Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, I like him in the other guys in Ted, I guess. But the joke there is that, like, oh, this is Mark Wahlberg playing these characters,
sure.
Like that. Yeah. So I guess when he's I guess it's Mark Wahlberg, because the only time I like him is when he's playing off type or it's ironic casting.
Right.
Yeah.
That what about Hugh Jackman?
Huge jacked man.
Is Russell Crowe? No, I liked him in The Nice Guys.
Russell Brand.
He's great in that.
Oh. Did we talk about that? Did we talk about Russell Brand kind of being as terrible as a lot of people were picking up on.
Yeah, just being super on brand. Like,
brand man always on brand, but the brand is bad.
Yeah, again,
that was supposed to be a segue.
Immaculate.
Mm. Yeah, that was supposed to be a segue into Rick and Morty, by the way.
Oh,
Hugh Jackman.
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Ryan, have you seen it?
Wait, what? Rick and Morty?
Yeah, season 7 premiered.
I didn't see it. No. Oh. I didn't even know it came out, I'll be honest.
Oh, I watched it right before the podcast because I thought you guys would have seen it.
No.
No.
I didn't watch shit.
That reference doesn't make sense then.
Yeah.
It does not make sense.
How are the voices?
Morty is not really in this episode. It is a Rick-centric episode. At times it's spot on. At times it's pretty solid, and at times it's like really noticeable.
Oh,
yeah.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
You get used to it by the end. Like, all right, the end of the episode, like, it didn't matter. But like when they first like went in on Rick, I was like, oh shit, that really does sound like a different guy. But then it went away.
Hmm. Have you Googled the voice actors now that they're, I guess it, now they're public? They were keeping them somewhat under wraps.
They didn't release the names until, I mean, they didn't even really release the names.
Well, now you have to, because
the episode aired and the credits rolled. I had never heard of either of them.
Oh. Ian Cardoni and Harry Belden. I don't know either of them offhand either.
Interesting.
What is your... All right, Ian Cardoni doesn't have much of an IMDb page. But then again, who does?
Me.
Oh.
I have an IMDb.
Weird.
I didn't know that from when I worked on the Emmys. My mom found it.
And you have... No, we talked about this. They're misattributing you a little bit.
Yeah, one of them, it's the Minecraft guy.
Okay, Harry Belden, he's getting around a little bit. He was on Joe Pera Talks With You. He was on Chicago Med.
Is he Rick? Like, he's kind of the more established one?
No, he plays Morty.
Oh. Mm. Very interesting, then.
So Ian Cardoni is the guy that plays Rick?
Correct.
And he's the less experienced of the two. That's interesting, because Morty's way more one note. Like, say what you will about Rick, but he's got depth. Morty's kind of a horny teenager.
Okay, that's fair. He is a horny teenager. Also, we finally started our Dungeons & Dragons Baldur's Gate campaign. We'll know the first world struggle of trying to meet up regularly to continue a Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Yeah.
Always.
And I feel like I have to respec and recreate my character because I misunderstood the assignment in terms of...
I love Borg. You better not.
Borg's great.
What? You're Frank Sinatra.
What's wrong with Borg?
It doesn't fit. You guys are both doing characters that already exist, and I made up a guy.
Frank Sinatra's not a character.
I feel like that's an asshole for being the only guy that exists within the world of Dungeons and Dragons.
Frank Sinatra exists in the world of Dungeons and Dragons.
Always has, always will.
Yeah. What, do you want me to rename him Frankie or something so it's more generalized? Like,
no, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what you guys did. I feel like an asshat for being Borg.
I know nothing about Frank Sinatra. Like, all I'm doing is just singing some of his songs and then like being a 50s like fucking dilettante, not dilettante, I don't know the correct word. Like, yeah, there's no actual character of Frank Sinatra going into this. It's just, you know,
Lucas is a character from a web comic from 20 years ago.
You know,
I'm gonna find that Zephyr Blade. I'm gonna do it, feeling good about it.
No idea what that means.
It's a bit from that show. Zephyr Blade is a tree branch.
In the first episode of Duralius and Associates, they seek the Lady in the Lake to get the mythical Zephyr Blade. And then
she just fucks with them.
She's just fucking with them the entire time.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, what have we done so far? What's been the vibes?
Killed a couple of goblins.
We did.
Killed a couple of demon guys and a couple of brains. Now we're at the Emerald Grove trying to end a race relations conflict.
I feel like Borg would have killed that lady that threatened the kid. I really wanted to, but I didn't want to fuck up the story for you guys by getting us kicked out of the Grove.
I mean, I'm doing my own campaign. Like, we can get as wild and weird. Actually, the further this deviates from my playthrough, the better. Honestly, that's how I see more of this game. All right. I think that'll just about do it for episode 237 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost certainly be titled "He Was Mr. Pfizer." If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out Instagram, YouTube, TikTok for highlight clips. Active link in the description. Support us through our Patreon, like the fantastic Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Email us your questions, business opportunities, voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @V2_podcast for updates, and follow me, Lucas DeRuyter, on Twitter, but probably Blue Sky. And if you need one of those, if you need to get on Blue Sky, you want a code, I have some. Got to pass a couple of vibe checks. I can get you on there. Goodbye, everyone.